Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of Redskin Post Game Report. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, taking you for the next 45 minutes as I discuss the Reds, Washington Redskins' latest loss as the Redskins fall 20-13. Philadelphia picks up its second win of the season. They go to improve to 2-4. Redskins fall to 3-2 on the season. And you look at this game, and this was, to me, I could sit up here, I could talk about the penalties, I could talk about the turnovers, I could talk about, you know, Philadelphia, 192 yards rushing, Redskins only having, you know, 42 yards rushing. We talk about all that, and certainly we will. But to me, this was a reality check for the Washington Redskins. This was, you know, this was a reality check for the Washington Redskins as a team. This was a reality check for any Redskin fan who believes that this team is legit. And what I mean by legit, I mean, I'm talking, you know, can make the playoffs and or can do anything when it gets to the playoffs. I understand the enthusiasm when you start off the season 3-1 following a 6-10 season. But the bottom line is, and I've been saying this, you know, even before the season started, that this is a quarterback-driven league. And again, it doesn't take a genius to figure that out. Okay. And, you know, the Redskins, you know, all offseason, you heard about Beck, John Beck. Then Rex Grossman becomes a starter. Rex Grossman, basically, in the first five games of the season, probably has had about maybe 2.5 good games. Because the last three games, he's been bad, and they call it, you know, just capped it off and where he was just, you know, Rex Grossman. He's got awful. But it's bigger than, I mean, this thing is bigger than Rex Grossman. We know Rex Grossman is a turnover machine. And again, it is almost, I mean, this kind of loss almost was good for the Redskins. First of all, they didn't get embarrassed, okay? And thankful, you know, it was thanks to the defense that they were not getting embarrassed. You know, 20-0, you're already having flashbacks to last November, that 59-28 just debacle that they took at the hands of the Redskins, of the Philadelphia Eagles. But, I mean, you knew this game was going to be a tricky game to begin with. Eagles were desperate, absolutely had to have this game in the worst way. So you knew it was going to be tricky to begin with. But the Redskins, you know, still had opportunities in this game. But again, you can't hide, Rex. You can't hide a quarterback in this league. And, you know, at 20-6, third quarter, Redskins, you know, have all the momentum. Eagles have just turned over the ball, coming off a Rex Grossman, off a Vince Young interception, because of course Young was in for two plays, whereas Michael Vick had, you know, dirt in his eye, so he was in for two plays. Vince Young throws an interception, and Redskins had the ball in, you know, basically inside in the red zone. I mean, out a little bit outside the 20-yard line, and Grossman, you know, throws interception number 3, and that was it. I mean, the competitive part of the game was over at that standpoint. Even though the Redskins would cut the lead to 20-13 in the fourth quarter. And again, we sit here on, you know, on this 16th of October 2011. I'll give you the call number. I'm sorry, didn't give you that. Call number 347-215-6180. We sit here, and this is the same game that the Redskins have been playing for the last 7-8 years. I mean, the defense, for the most part, plays well, but the offense finds a way to just, you know, you can't score enough points. And the Redskins, you know, when the Redskins get down by more than one score, I mean, a game becomes almost, it becomes almost impossible for them to win that game. And there'll be a lot of questions going into this coming week about the quarterback situation. As far as this season goes. But to me, what about the quarterback situation this season and beyond? That to me is the question. What is the plan? What is the exact plan for the Redskins quarterback situation 2012, 2013, 2014. Now that you've made the move to Beck, I think you have to stick with Beck until the season's over. I mean, I think you have to stick with Beck unless he gets hurt. Again, you know what you're going to get out of Rex Grossman. And I'm not least bit surprised that Rex Grossman, you know, has now, you know, six touchdowns and nine interceptions on the season. I mean, this is what he's been for his entire career. But again, the bigger issue is moving forward. You know, let's see what John Beck has. I don't know about John. I don't know anything about John Beck, basically. You know, he had four starts before this year. I mean, coming into this year, he had four starts for his career. But to me, and I'm looking at the situation overall, there's no plan for the Redskins quarterback situation. What is the plan? And if Mike Shanahan or anybody else actually believes that you can hide either Grossman or Beck with a solid defense, a good running game, I mean, you know, please. Then I have to question the Redskins' future in terms of who's leading them. And there's a lot to be said for the Washington Redskins coming off a bye week to be this sloppy. And to get down 20-0 to an Eagle team. Listen, Eagles, you know, Eagles did not play great this game. The Eagles, I mean, in the second half, the Eagles basically allowed, now the Redskins defense stepped up in the second half, but the Eagles basically almost gift-wrapped the game to the Redskins in the second half. The Eagles didn't play well. I don't think this is a victory. This game did not tell you a lot. It told me more about where the Eagles are than even about the Redskins and their whole quarterback situation. I mean, Eagles are just okay right now. That game probably should have been, you know, that probably should have been 38-10. That game probably should have been close considering how bad the Redskins were playing. But again, you just wonder about, you know, the Redskins offense as a whole, not only with the quarterback situation, but just their, you know, play calling, you know, lack of playmakers. I mean, outside of Fred Davis, you know, you have Fred Davis and Tanner Moss. Who scares you on the outside besides those two? You have one receiver, you know, good tight end. The running back situation, I think, is fine, but, you know, can't, you know, only run the ball. Again, I understand the Redskins didn't have the ball for the most part in the second half, but there were opportunities for them to run the ball, but they chose, you know, Kyle Shanahan chose not to call running plays against a team that has one of the worst run defenses in the league, that ranked 30th out of 32 teams in terms of run defenses. So the Redskins had their first crisis situation of the 2011 season. Not only did they lose a divisional game, home game. They, you know, Corey Lichtensteiger done for the season with a knee, MCL, ACL. You have Trent Williams, high ankle sprain. He'll be out a couple of weeks, probably more than likely. Chris Cooley got knocked out of the game. So now they're going to be banged up. And we'll see how they respond coming off this loss to the Eagles, again, to an Eagle team that was getting right to the picket. The Eagles, you know, I thought this would be a tricky game for the Redskins based on the matchups. Eagles have a lot of speed. Eagles have always played the Redskins well in FedEx Field. One, they are now 10-2 against the Redskins in their last 12 appearances down here. So Eagles always play well here. But again, this was a game that the Redskins certainly, it was certainly there for the taking because the Eagles didn't do anything. Again, the Eagles played one half of football, and that's been the name of the game for the Eagles for the entire season. They haven't put together a four quarters. Played one half of football. When we return, we'll have the scoring summary and also the turning point of the game. This is the Redskin post-game report. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, taking you up until 5:45, or a little bit after that, considering we got off to a little bit of a late start. So I'll take you to 5:45, 5:46, 5:47, 347-215-6180 is your call number. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Redskin Post Game Report. Cyril Quinn, 347-215-6180. Redskins fall 20-13. They're 3-2 on the season. Eagles improved to 2-4 on the season. Redskins had an opportunity to end the Eagles season. There's no two ways about it. Redskins win this game, Eagles would have been finished. 1-5, you could basically start thinking about 2012. But the Redskins give the Eagles an extra, extra breath, so to speak, a lifeline. And Eagles now, 2-4 and still in the mix as far as the NFC East is concerned, as they are two games behind the Giants, a game and a half behind the Redskins. Scoring summary, Redskins took a while to get on the board, but their first score came on a five-play, 52-yard drive that finished off with a 50-yard field goal by Graham Gonneau. Redskins' big play on this drive was a Rex Grossman 45-yard flea flicker pass to Jabari Gaffney. Redskins, again, still had to settle for a field goal to make it 20-3. Redskins then would get the ball and go put together another decent drive that finished off with another field goal as the Graham Gonneau kicked a 26-yard field goal. Redskins on this particular drive, Redskins couldn't do anything basically in the first quarter. And Redskins couldn't do anything. On the first drive was 9 plays, 38 yards. couple of catches by Fred Davis, and Graham Gano kicked a 27-yard field goal. Second drive was the drive where Graham Gano kicked the 50-yard field goal to make it 20 to 6. Then the Redskins' last scoring drive, this is at this point, John Beck was in the game. 10 plays, the Redskins' best drive by far of the game, 10 plays, 80 yards, a John Beck 2-yard touchdown run would cap it off, and the Redskins got within a touchdown at 22-13. The key play was a fourth and nine conversion as Beck threw a 15-yard pass to Dante Stallworth. That would be the last time the Redskins would score in a game. And listen, their offense, you know, it's tough to gauge an offense when you basically in the first half, you basically get ran over in the first half, and the Redskins, you know, the Redskins first half didn't do anything. I mean, didn't do anything for the most part. Philly outgained them something like 250 to like 32. And they were very fortunate not to be just blown out of the water in the first half. But there were opportunities for the Redskins to run the ball. But again, you have a situation where in a league that we've been talking about all season long, not only on this program, but the NFL show and Saturday Morning Wake Up program, where these coaches just fall in love with this passing game. And listen, I don't care who's in the game for the Redskins, whether it be John Beck or Rex Grossman. If the Redskins cannot run a ball, they absolutely have zero chance. They have no chance of winning, especially against a team. A team like the Eagles, who are going to put points on the board. I thought the Redskins defense more than held up its own by holding the Eagles to 20 points. More than held up their own. When we return, we will have the turning point of the game. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the Saturday morning, of the Redskins post-game report. We'll be right back. Hour on this latest edition of the Redskins postgame report. 20-13, Philadelphia takes out the Redskins to get his first win of the season for the division. From a divisional standpoint, they're 1-0 in the division. That was their 1-1 in the division as they lost to the Giants. So they're 1-1 in the division. Redskins fall to 1-2 in the division, and that's what makes this loss doubly bad for the Redskins. I mean, really, three parts. You lose a game in a division, one, two, home game in a division, and three, you allow a team, Philadelphia Eagles, to get off the mat. You allow them to get off the mat when you had a chance to absolutely bury them for the season. Philly loses this game, their season's finished. and you wouldn't have to worry about Philly for the rest of the season, to be honest with you. So, you know, again, just and it's a conference game as well. So, just, you know, overall, just disaster for the Redskins. Then, you know, everything that could go wrong went wrong, and as tough as losses you can, you know, as painful as losses you can imagine from, you know, from the injuries that they sustained, how the quarterback situation. Redskins are 3-2, but it's a very tenuous and soft 3-2, to say the least. Turning point of the game, there are a couple things you can look to. I looked at when the Eagles, when the Redskins were able to hold the Eagles at 17-0, at 14-0, when the Redskins were able to hold the Eagles to a field goal, only make it 17-0. At that point, and really, the next two Eagle possessions, the Eagles go field goal to make it 20-0. If the Eagles would have scored a touchdown on any one of those possessions, either one of those possessions, the game would have been long. The game would have been, would not even been competitive, and the Redskins would have had no chance in this particular game. But give the Redskins defense credit for keeping them in this game. I mean, you look at the Eagles' last seven possessions. They go field after going up 14-0, offense going up and down the field. Eagles go field goal, interception, turnover on downs, and two punts. And in that last possession, they were able to run out the clock, basically, with LeSean McCoy, in which I cannot knock the Redskins defense for. The Redskins defense was almost on the field for over 38 minutes, with the offense basically having done nothing. So I'm not going to knock the Redskins defense for not being able to get off the field in that last particular possession. So I have to say that those back-to-back possessions where the Redskins were able to hold the Eagles to field goals kept the game within striking distance of the Redskins, despite how poorly they were playing, and kept them within arm's length of the Philadelphia Eagles. Statistical leaders for the Redskins, Rex Grossman. Who frankly doesn't even deserve to be on this page, but he was 9 for 22, 143 yards passing, 4 interceptions, of course, was pulled from the game in the second half, third quarter, late third quarter, early fourth quarter, I think it was a late third quarter. John Beck came in, 8 for 15, 117 yards, didn't run for a touchdown. It didn't do anything spectacular. I mean, and what can you expect? I mean, he hasn't played all season, probably hasn't taken any practice, I would assume hasn't taken any practice snaps, going to be, you know, being thrown into the middle of a game with the speed of the game, the whole 9 yards. I didn't expect anything too much out of John Beck in this particular game. I didn't expect him to go out there and rally the Redskins to, you know, 21 straight points for them to win this game. It was a move that absolutely had to be made. If you watch, it had to be made without question. Had to be made. But I thought Beck did provide some energy. He led the Redskins to the only touchdown drive when he got 80 yard touchdown drive. When he scores the touchdown with the 2 yard run, so he did do that. He had a lot of passes that were low. His accuracy was not there. Had a lot of passes that were low. Didn't throw the ball particularly well, but again, this was not about John Beck and his performance. This was about, again, the Redskins overall, the direction of the Redskins offense, especially the quarterback situation overall. What you saw from John Beck to me in this game was gravy, and you know, it was just a matter of them getting Rex Grossman out of the game. Redskins had no running game whatsoever. Ryan Terrain, 10 carries, 22 yards. He was a starter for today as Tim Hightower is nursing a shoulder injury. Shanahan said after the game that he will only play Hightower in an emergency situation. So Hightower didn't play at all. Helu was a non-factor. The Redskins running game is basically a non-factor. 14 carries, 42 yards. Again, I know, listen, the Redskins were dominated from the line of scrimmage. I mean, Philadelphia had over 400 yards of total offense, 250 yards in that second half, in the first half. But Redskins should have ran the ball more. 14 carries is not going to get it done. know, you do 14 running plays and 37 pass plays. That's not the recipe for the Washington Redskins. Not the least, not even close. And if they have those kind, if they have games where they run, I told a buddy of mine, because I was in Philadelphia yesterday. I told a buddy of mine, if the Redskins don't run the ball 35 to 40 times, they're not going to win the game. Now, and to be honest with you, I'm shocked that it was this close, considering the Redskins' lack of offense. Fred Davis led all six receptions, 95 yards. He did claim after the game that he was responsible for two of the Beck interceptions. But regardless, Davis did play a quality game and was by far and away the Redskins' best offensive player. Redskins for the game, 287 yards of total offense. Did move the ball better in the second half, but the thing that killed the Redskins over the course of the game, besides the turnovers, were the was 1 for 10 on third downs. The offense could not get any sustained drives for the most part, and it really affected their defense in the first half. As you know, I mean, Redskins had drives where they didn't pick up. I mean, you're talking about three. They were basically three and out. I mean, Redskins, you know, started out this game. I mean, their first two possessions, Redskins were three plays, 4 yards, and three plays, 7 yards. That was their first. That was, and then the third possession was a Rex Grossman interception. So they went three and out. Three and out, you go 2 3 and outs on an interception, your first three possessions of a game. Next thing you know, you're down 14-0. 75 total yards in the first half of the Redskins offense. When we return, we will talk. We'll look ahead towards. We'll go around the league with some scores, and then we'll talk. We'll look ahead towards next week. This is the Redskins Postgame Report. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, 347-215-6180 is your call number. I'll be right back. Is your call number. This is the Redskins post game report. Redskins fall 20-13 to the Eagles. Redskins go to 3-2 on the season as they will travel to Carolina, travel to Charlotte to take on the Carolina Panthers next week. Around the league, scores already 1 o'clock games: Atlanta 31, Carolina 17, Cincinnati 27, Indianapolis 17. Pittsburgh 17, Jacksonville 13, Green Bay over St. Louis 24-3. San Francisco, great win over Detroit 25-19. The Giants edge out Buffalo 27-24. Current scores, Baltimore and Houston are at halftime, with Baltimore being up 10-7. Oakland and Cleveland have just gone to halftime 14-7. Buccaneers at least, New Orleans 20-7. Patriots are up on Dallas 13-3. So those are your scores. Of course, later on tonight, on the Sunday night game, you have Minnesota and Chicago. Tomorrow night, you have Miami and the Jets in Miami on Monday Night Football. You look at the Redskins' schedule moving forward, and it does not get any easier. Redskins have a, you know, they'll go to Carolina, and don't be fooled by Carolina's 1-5 record. Carolina has been just about every game, even to this week. They were in the game before Atlanta pulled away late. Cam Newton, they have C.E. Smith, they have weapons. Redskins should be able to move the ball against Carolina because Carolina's defense is awful. But again, that will be a very difficult game. You know, yeah, Carolina, you're at Carolina, at Buffalo, home to San Francisco. That is a rough three-game stretch. They see, and listen, the Redskins, we're going to find out really about where the Redskins are at, considering what, you know, with the injuries, with the quarterback controversy, and with, you know, with everything that's going on coming off a bye week. You're going to find out what the team's about. Again, every season, every team in the NFL, maybe Green Bay wanted to deal with it this year, but every team in the NFL goes through a mini crisis situation. The Redskins are up against one right now. Again, you lose two offensive linemen, Chris Cooley. That is as bad of a that's as tough as and then you have a quarterback controversy on top of it. That's a rough Sunday and a divisional loss. I mean, doesn't get any worse than that. And the questions will start to come out, and fairly so, about the direction of this offense under Kyle Shanahan. Can this offense ever succeed under Kyle Shanahan? We can sit up here and say the Redskins don't have a quarterback all we want, and they don't. But again, this season has been more than just about the Redskins not having a franchise caliber quarterback. The play calling has been average to mediocre at best. And it's again something that's gonna have to be addressed moving forward. If the Redskins, if this organization ever wants to go in a direction to become a championship type of organization, I mean, Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, I never liked it to begin with, having your son as an offensive coordinator. I don't know how it works out. Thirty-seven pass plays, 14 run plays against one of the worst run defenses in the league. Is your call number. Washington falls 20-13. Cowboys have just scored on the New England Patriots to cut the lead 13-10. Jason Witten, 1 yard touchdown pass from Tony Romo, and certainly before that game ends, the offensive sparks will fly without question. Again, the big story of this game, Rex Grossman out as Washington Redskins quarterback, John Beck in. And in some ways, you could kind of see this coming from a couple weeks ago. I mean, Shanahan was taking questions about Grossman's performance because it had been shaky for the past couple weeks. Grossman Shanahan's, you know, basically kind of brush it off, said as long as, you know, it's all about the wins, he'll be gauged by the wins and losses and what have you. But this one, you could almost see this thing, you could almost see this coming. And again, this is a league now in 2011 that is absolutely driven by your signal caller. There's no other ways about it. The days, and I'll keep saying this now, I said it before, I'll keep saying this. The days of the Rich Gannons and the Trent Dilfers winning Super Bowls is over. It's over. Look at the top teams. Okay, Green Bay. Who's their quarterback? New England. Who's their quarterback? New Orleans. Who's their quarterback? Look at your division. You know, no question marks at quarterbacks, at quarterback with the three teams, with the other three teams in the Redskins division. None whatsoever. And I wonder about the future of the quarterback position with the Washington Redskins. And it's something that, again, to me, it has not been addressed. It hasn't been addressed enough in this town, in the metro D.C. area. And this idea, and I heard it today, I heard Doc Walker say that he was convinced that basically that you could win in spite of Rex. I mean, are you kidding me? Doc, come on. Really? In spite of Rex? Yeah, you can't. There's no winning in spite of a quarterback. You could win in spite of four turnovers. In spite of four turnovers, you can win. It's just not realistic. The rest of the team is, first of all, it's not realistic in the NFL, in today's NFL. But, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the Redskins are headed in the right direction as far as, you know, drafting and the way, you know, some of them are not going after every free agent. But that this roster is currently constructed still has very little room for error. I mean, they still, you know, they can't, you know, you can't have the four turnovers, the nine penalties, the one for ten, the 1 for 10 on third down. And in spite of a quarterback change, and in spite of that, they still were in the game, amazingly. I mean, they scored at 20-6. They scored a touchdown in that third quarter to cut it to 20-13, or even get a field goal to cut it to 20-9. Who knows? Eagles at that point were in a tailspin, and they were on the cusp of one of their collapses. The Redskins, unlike the 49ers, just were not good enough to take advantage of it. But it was real. I mean, it was right there. Listen, the Eagles, and again, the Eagle fans, you know, could breathe easier. But I certainly was not impressed by the Philadelphia Eagles. Not by a long shot. Which makes this loss for the Western Redskins even that much more frustrating. If the Eagles go out there and play their A game and just have one of those days, you know, you say, okay, they were desperate, running forward, they had to win and what have you. Eagles played about the, you know, Eagles play the kind of football they've been playing all year long. You know, mistake prone, you know, 30 minutes of football, a good quarter here, a good quarter there, a bad quarter there. You know, only thing I get is the only reason the Eagles won win this game, besides the ineptitude of the Redskins offense, was the fact that the Eagles finally got smart and realized that they had one of the best running backs in the league and got him the football in terms of LeSean McCoy with the 28 carries. So you get the Eagles credit from that standpoint of, you know, recognizing that they have an all-world running back. But it's not like the Eagles got out. It's not like the Eagles went out here and set, you know, FedEx on fire here. This wasn't like last year. The Eagles went out there with the 59 points and it just was one of those nights. Nah, not by a long stretch. The Eagles played okay. They played great. A lot of questions moving forward for the Washington Redskins. You know, that offensive line is going to be very shaky going into next week, or for the next, basically for the next couple of weeks. And in order for them to protect the offensive line, they're going to have to run the football. 347-215-6180. When we return, we will wrap up the program on this latest edition of the Redskin Report. Back to this latest edition of the Washington Redskins Report. Cyril Quinn, as we wrap up the program, 347-215-6180. NFL Showtime has not yet been announced. It could be tomorrow, it could be Tuesday. Keep, you know, follow me on twitter.com/WilliamJuro, or certainly you can check my Facebook page at facebook.com/CyrilQuinn for those times. For those particular times, I wanted to get it out before the night is over, and I will get it out before the evening is over on the next edition of the NFL show. But it will be either tomorrow at 7 p.m. or Tuesday at 7 p.m. Again, Redskins fall 20-13, they fall 3-2 in the season. We'll play Carolina next week at Carolina as they embark on a 2-game road trip at Carolina, at Buffalo. Redskins blow a golden opportunity to put the Eagles away. 1-2 in the division, are now banged up and now have questions at the most important position in the entire sport, and that be the quarterback. Beck should be the quarterback, but we'll see what happens later on this week. That's going to wrap it up. So long. Have a great evening.